Janda banapi bamanda, janda bakat janda bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. New research uncovers how Australians choose to treat and manage pain. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up and have a yarn with Alina Pendado, Head of Pain at Helion Australia. We have Alina on the line. Alina, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming along. And look, we are National Pain Week, 28 July. Very important. How many Australians are impacted by everyday pain, Alina?
Yeah, we did some research and found that 9 out of 10 Australians across all generations experience everyday pain. And when we're talking about everyday pain, we're talking about things like headache and cold and flu symptoms and fever, muscle pain. So really, across the board, it is quite universal.
So no matter what injury we're talking about and how we got the injury, or whether it be illness or what have you, pain is pain, and that's what we're talking about. And Helion Australia, it operates in that space to help people get over pain. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And some new research that we released for National Pain Week, we really wanted to understand, you know, where Australians were going for their pain relief. And we found that 72% of Australians went to paracetamol first as their first choice of pain relief. And, you know, people really want that that solution that's suitable for a range of different types of pain, and also because they, you know, something that they really trust to relieve their pain. So that's what the research is. That's been released this week.
And can you tell us more about the research? How long has the research been going on? Is this an everyday thing or a yearly thing? Or
yeah, we've done some specific research in light of National Pain Week, and and at the back half of last year, we also did a global pain study to really try and understand, you know, how people are suffering with pain. And some of the statistics out of that, it really showed how isolating pain can be, and it impacts almost every part of a person's life. So being able to manage pain day to day is really crucial.
So it leads to my next question: why is it important that pain is taken seriously and managed properly?
Yeah, that's you know, that's really why we want to have these conversations more and more, because what we see is when people are in pain, perhaps they don't want to talk about it, or they feel like it's not such a big deal, but it really kind of traps them in that vicious loop of stigma and then isolation, and can lead to things like mental health issues. So, you know, it impacts every part of our life. And I think what we don't want people to think is, oh, it's just a little bit of pain, because if it's impacting their life, they should be talking to their healthcare professional, their doctor, their pharmacist. And so National Pain Week is a really great opportunity to draw awareness to the impact of pain.
So an individual could take pain as a stigma thing, is what I'm picking up, Alina.
Yeah, that's right. They, you know, I guess sometimes we think, I'll be right, I'll push on. And, you know, but actually that can kind of lead to, you know, that feeling of isolation, because, you know, maybe the pain goes on for too long, or, you know, you're not quite sure what to do or who to turn to. So just having more conversations about everyday pain and pain in general, we think will you know, push the population in the right direction and start having better conversations.
And when you're saying having conversations, the other side of the coin is probably having too many conversations. Then you're starting to think that people think that you're a broken record.
That's right. That is true, I guess. But I think what we want to make sure as well is that that there's really good training on offer for our GPs and our pharmacists to be able to have that conversation.
Sure.
And I guess just having the awareness that pain can really have a big impact on people's lives. So if your friend or your family member's talking a bit, perhaps pointing them in the right direction to have a bigger conversation.
Yes. Well, you could say we're all in this together, and we're talking about a loved one, or, you know, a friend or family member. If they're in pain, in a way, they're screaming out for help, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that thing that it can really have an impact on every part of their life, their family, their job, you know, their friends. So having those conversations is really, really important.
And I'm just looking at your deadly title, Head of Pain at Helion Australia. I mean, what a title. Come running to Alina, yes?
Yeah, I think, you know, I wish it didn't have to exist, but unfortunately pain is a fact of life. And we really want to help everyday Australians manage it better.
Well, you eased our pain in regarding our ears. You had a fantastic conversation, and look, it's great. We enlighten us, and it just opens our eyes and our hearts and our minds in regard to loved ones, family, friends, what have you, who have pain, to take on board and not be inconsiderate, but even do your own research to help the individual to where they can go or what advice you can give, I would think, Alina.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks so much for having me today. It's always good to talk about it, and I think the more we talk about it, the more we'll help everybody.
Thank you for the yarn. You take care, keep smiling, stay warm, and we'll talk soon, sister.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. That's Alina Pintado, her name is. Head of Pain, that's her title, Head of Pain at Helion Australia. And new research uncovers how Australians choose to treat and manage pain. So no matter what pain we're talking about, whether you've got an old football injury or a war injury, or you know, you had a car accident, whatever the case may be, or you sprained your ankle and it just lingers on, so to speak. Pain is pain, whatever pain you go through. Look, do reach out, check out Helion Australia, do Google him, Haleon, Helion Australia, and look, find out what you can do to relieve pain. So very important. It does get in the way and it frustrates your life sometimes. So there it is, your mob. Have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Station radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BB and Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. Yarnum with the bully. I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. It is your program. Murray just doing it. Have your say and yarn up strong. National Talk Black.
She said, don't leave me here again, ma. I need you more than you could ever understand, ma. I'm broken and alone, I know we had a broken home. Stop thinking you need a man, ma. Getting chucked around the system, need to take my hand, ma. Wanna go home, but you're too selfish on that needle. Think you bad to the bone. Was once good, but you turn evil and I'm sick of these thoughts. Was I ever enough? It seems that all I was taught, but I was always too much. And all I want is your love, but you don't wanna come back. Yeah, you're too sick on that crack to comprehend the impact. I only see you for an hour every couple of weeks, and I'm going through so much trauma, I find it hard to just speak. He touching me in the dark, cause I'm not worthy of love, and I'll probably turn out like you. Or laying up in a coffin, all I wanted was you. But I wasn't your problem, I guess I gotta figure out my own ways to just solve them. Want you to fight for me, like you fight over drugs. Want you to fight for me, go ahead and fight for my love. Want you to die for me, but you just died on me. So now I'm standing in the mirror feeling real lonely. Sorry, mommy.
Fight for me.
Should have been a mum and now I'm living with regret. Cause I passed on my trauma, I'm so sorry for the pain. But you feel in your heart, and if I could take it away, I would tear it all apart. I tear myself up every day, I wish I had my baby back. But when push came to shove, I didn't have my baby's back. I was caught up in the trap, I was fronting on your dad. And my demons came in masses, was too weak to fight him back. Don't blame me for what I did, put blame where it belongs. I did bad on my own, having you was never wrong. You were a blessing all along. Blind of Nick, I'll see. Hating on who I am. Please don't ever be like me. I should have fought for you.
Fight for me, mama. Fight for me. Fight for me. Walking in the world, building tyranny. The system and the drugs, they are killing me. Escaping from the system, but the system needs the drugs.
Chasing these drugs. times I should have fought for you. I should have fought for your love, should have been there for you. It wasn't fair to you, and you're so strong, my baby, I couldn't compare to you. I should have fought for you, instead of chasing these drugs, I should have fought for you. I should have fought for your love, should have been there for you. It wasn't fair to you, and you're so strong, my baby, I couldn't compare to you.
Important community service announcement.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community, and we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Foster and Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperen on 40801080 to learn more.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Papa Manu,
pote 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 ho hey pote ha 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 e e e e pote 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 ho hey Dugama tribal warrior Dugama Manukiwe warrior
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, so we are coming up to National Science Week. All you deadly scientists out there, or the vision, or the or foresight for that, we're going to catch up a yarn and talk about, well, this space, pardon the pun, but we're going to talk to Tanya Ha, ambassador for National Science Week. Got Tanya online. Tanya, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. I'm a bit cold. I'm coming to you from Woiwurrung and Bunurong country of the Kulin Nation. So, you know, down in Victoria,
cold
where
country.
It's very cold.
Cold country. Yeah. And a big shout out to First Nation mob down there, all rugged up, and I reckon you would be too, Tanya.
I am, you know. And I always say to people, when I'm doing an acknowledgement of country at a science event, I say, people tease us about Melbourne weather. Mm. They say it's unpredictable that we get all four seasons in one day. But if you look at the Kulin seasons, Melbourne weather makes complete sense.
Yes.
So that's my illustration.
There you go.
That's like the value of Indigenous knowledge. Yeah.
And that's the support and the answer back that you get from Tanya Ha when you're talking about the beautiful city of Melbourne, yes. Look, fantastic. National Science Week, one of Australia's largest festival. Look, it was held back in 1997. And last year, about $2.7 million people participated. So, look, this is a very important space, as I said, pardon the punt, but especially with First Nation people at the table. So, tell us about this this journey, this vehicle we're talking about.
Well, National Science Week runs each year in August. This year, it runs from the 10th to the 18th. Although some events are kicking off now because there's more than you can fit into 1 week, so
sure.
10th to 18th. It's actually two weekends, so the scientists can count. They
yes.
can count the days. and there's events right around the country. Generally, there's about 1,500 to 2,000 events, some of them online, some of them in local communities, some in major capital cities. And it's just really easy for people to meet scientists, do science, talk about the hot topics, and celebrate its role that it has in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, for sure. So when we talk science, we talk also a branch off from that, entertainment, business, environment, food, wine, indigenous, media, the arts, health, technology, all the above.
Yes.
So it's a big umbrella, you could say.
It is, yes. And that's one thing that I love about the variety of National Science Week is that, you know, people can go, you know, wherever they are, they can go to, if they've got access to internet, computer, go to www.scienceweek.net.au and you can type in your postcode or you can just put in your whole state or,
sure.
you know, and search to see what's happening in your local area, or you can put in the search field, this is my area of interest, I want to see what's, you know, what's on, I don't know, physics or astrophysics or what's on engineering. And there are, one thing that I think is really encouraging is that there have been an increasing number of
of events that celebrate First Nations science, but also events that feature people with Indigenous backgrounds who are scientists. So that's one thing that I think is really important, is that in National Science Week, celebrating Indigenous science, you know, deadly science, isn't just about looking at things, you know, like, you know, technologies that are thousands of years old, like, you know, axe making, and, you know, the eel traps that are still in operation in Victoria, you're like 10,000 years old. It's not just looking back, it's about recognising.
Acknowledging and educating as well, I would say.
Yeah, well, there are people like one of my favourite scientists, Misty Jenkins, is Indigenous, and she's doing cancer research.
Yeah,
so
yes.
It's not necessarily, it's Indigenous people doing science in all different fields, as well as preserving and continuing traditional knowledge and culture. And so there's a good mix of both in National Park.
Well, when you're talking about traditional knowledge and culture, well, we're talking about a culture that's 60,000 years old. And our people were professionals in all industries, all fields, if you look at it back in the day, and still operating those activities as such, aren't they?
Yes. First scientists, first engineers, first inventors.
Yeah, fantastic. Is there a connection or is there engagement with high schools around the country with National Science Week?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Like, their schools get involved. They choose how much they get involved. Some people do activities in their classrooms. Cool. This year there's a focus on species survival. But there's also things like, that schools do excursions, or they go with particularly seniors where, really these are people on the verge of adulthood.
Yes.
They'll go to a panel event that has, speakers doing research on artificial intelligence, and they'll hear these things. So it's really, so there's one thing that's actually happening in Canberra is there's a, at Parliament House, they're going to have it's called the Government Scientist Group Expo, because government actually employs scientists.
Yes.
There are people at Geoscience Australia, there's Indigenous Rangers, there's people looking at doping in sport, all sorts of things in government science agencies. And so this expo is going to show, invite high school students to see what kind of careers they could have working as a scientist in government.
Yes.
And then you've got something in Sydney, which is one of my favourite events that's happening annually. It's called the Indigenous Science Experience at Redfern.
At Redfern. They do that annually, do they?
Yes. Good. And the beautiful thing about that event is that it's open to the community, everyone. Everyone can go to that. But they have Indigenous high school students are doing the science demonstrations and giving the talks and running the workshops, and so and that it's modern science as well as traditional knowledge as well, and so that's one that, like, there's teenagers that went through that program but then are scientists today that are Indigenous, and also one who ended up managing traditional exhibitions at one of the museums. So, yeah, that's close to my heart, that one.
Beautiful. And when you look at 2.7 million people participated last year, and more than 1,800 events and activities, it's bigger than Ben-Hur, and you're talking about proud sponsors from the Australian government, CSIRO, the Australian Science Teachers Association, and ABC. Big-time players there at the table as well.
Oh, yes. Well, science is really important to the future of Australia. So not just the economy, but the environment and healthcare. Like, there are so many decisions that we've got to make, and we also need the next generation to have those jobs of the future as they're going through and making their career choices as well.
Tanya Ha, you're a fantastic ambassador for National Science Week. Thank you for yarning.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations. Stay warm, sister. And a big shout out to all our beautiful scientists across this country, especially First Nations and people front and centre. But good yarning with you, and we'll be in touch, and you take care, sis.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. A beautiful gown there. Tanya Ha, her name is, ambassador for National Science Week. And look, very important space. And look, it's 2.7 million people participated last year in about 1,800 events. It's been running since 1997. Look, very important. And as Tanya mentioned, science is very important to this country, to the world. And having First Nation people at the table is a given. It's more so very important. And 60,000 years, culture, knowledge, there it is, front and centre. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. Your host, the Bally One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong or National Talk Black, too deadly.